From WGCU News, I'm John Davis. The village of Goodland in Collier County is marked as the official site where Hurricane Wilma made Florida landfall during the record-breaking 2005 Atlantic hurricane season. However, News Press storyteller Amy Bennett-Williams tells us that many years before that, the quaint fishing village served as the vital backdrop for childhood visits with her grandfather. For her, the community and its long-preserved character are infused with touchstone memories, formative experiences, and provided the initial attraction that eventually led her to build a life here in Southwest Florida.
My favorite Goodland skyscape ever. Moments after my grandpa, with a grin and a grunt, flings a knot of fish guts high against the sunset, they descend, untangling as they do, spiraling, looping, finally forming a loose crimson heart before vanishing into eager pelican maws. I didn't realize it then, but that random crimson calligraphy scrawled against violet dusk was as clear an augury of my future as any ancient entrail readers could be. "You will follow that heart," the sage would have told me. "You are forever linked to this place by blood and love." 30-some years, a marriage, 2 Lee County births, and 5 acres later, I'd say the prophecy came true, mostly. I didn't wind up living in Goodland, but that little village still contains the essence of what drew me to Florida and what has kept me here. Just as you can magnetize raw metal by rubbing it against lodestone over and over, my polarities were forever altered by this place. The process started when I was a teenager, and as so often happens with passion, it began physically. I would arrive numbed, having left the dead of Midwestern winter just 3 hours behind, step from dry airplane air into a floral wall of humidity and just melt. My grandparents rented a little condo on Marco Island, an oddly shaped mangrove-fringed blot that squiggled into the 10,000 islands. The sensory difference between that place, with its splashing mullet, swooping osprey, and periwinkle skies, and Chicago's northwest suburbs was nothing short of shocking. Days we strolled the beach or floated in the pool. Nights we drank chilled rosé from Tervis tumblers while playing endless hands of canasta. We'd slide back the glass doors. Pink moths fluttered against the screen. The moon rose over the banyans. And mostly, during the in-between times, the soft dawns and flaming dusks, my grandpa and I fished. In search of the next great spot, we'd explore the island's corners and mostly empty interior, where canals looped and laced around each other to maximize saleable waterfront. I loved our incidental exploration of this subtropical no man's land, where molting bald eagles perched atop junked, rusting dredges, and Calusa mounds loomed at the end of empty cul-de-sacs. The little village of Goodland, way at the southwest end of the island, was one of our favorite spots. Legs swinging side by side over a canal wall, we'd dangle long strands of monofilament until Grandpa's little plastic bucket was at least half full of silvery sea trout or zebra-striped sheep's head. Before we'd head back in his navy blue LTD, he'd get out a fillet knife and his scalpel. He was a retired surgeon, after all, and the tools of his former trade translated well to the fishing business. I still haven't found anything better for retrieving a swallowed hook than a slender but sturdy hemostat. We'd scale and clean the fish, then he'd throw the guts to the circling swirl of birds. The biggest chunks he'd lob to the gimpy ones, the peg-legged gull or the stump-winged pelican, whistling appreciatively through his teeth if one made a particularly daring catch. Though there were no signs yet forbidding our bird feeding, we were clearly violating an unwritten rule. Other anglers would come in after a day of deep-sea fishing on the water, hauling styrofoam coolers of their catch, and glare at we pier-fishing peasants, muttering about flying vermin. But Grandpa shrugged off that sort of social pressure the way he shrugged off fashion. Scruffy and windblown, he outfitted himself in baggy plaid shorts and dime-store plastic scuffs, refusing to dress for his assigned part, comfortably retired physician. And if the weekend warrior snubbed him, so what? The Goodland natives welcomed him with familiar nods. To they know him? With his mahogany tan and elbows-out jacket, he could have been someone's cousin. He's been gone more than 30 years now, but the last time I went to Goodland, I was comforted to see that Grandpa would still be at home there as ever, especially after I talked to Daniel Doxey, one of the last of a multi-generation island fishing family who was ending a day of mullet fishing, tossing the innards to a crowd of happy pelicans.
Amy Bennett-Williams is a News Press storyteller. Her columns appear every Thursday and Sunday. You can listen here most Friday mornings and online at wgcunews.org.